we've already said, we appreciate your attendance tonight and very thankful for the prayer that's been offered. I ask each of you just to continue to pray as I stand before you. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you tonight from the writings of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament in the book of Romans. This passage of Scripture has been on my mind for the last couple days, continues to be there, so we just ask the Lord that He would bless us to be able to share the thoughts that we have had on this particular passage and supply for us tonight the things we need to know that is found in the Word of God surrounding these verses. Romans chapter 1, the writings of the Apostle Paul in the church at Rome, begins in verse 1 of Romans chapter 1. We find the writer, the Apostle Paul, addressing the brethren at Rome and explaining to them exactly who he is that he's writing and by what authority he writes, to whom he's writing, and the purpose of the letter that was written to the brethren at Rome. It says in verse 1 of chapter 1, he says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." And here the Apostle Paul has greeted the church here at Rome and talked to them about his great love for them and his desire to be with them, and that the Lord had led him to come and be there and share the wonderful, glorious good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. Now, beginning at verse 1, he said, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." It's very, very important that we understand tonight who it is that we're serving. First and foremost, every minister of the gospel that is a called man of God or has been led of God, called of God, stands first and foremost as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He, yes, serves the church. He is to serve the Lord's people. He's to feed the sheep and he's to feed the lambs. As the Lord called Peter, he said, "Feed my lambs. Do you love me, Peter?" And he said, Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love thee." And he said, "Well, feed my sheep." And, "Do you love me, Peter?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Well, feed my lambs." That the important thing for the minister of the gospel to be about is to feed the little lambs and the sheep that the Lord has called out of nature's darkness and given us here in this world, and that we are to do that as a servant of Jesus Christ. That means we're to listen not to the congregation, not to the folks that we're serving, but we're to listen to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one thing. A lot of people want to have a Savior, but they don't want their Savior to be Lord. And the fact of the matter is, if we truly have a Savior, He is our Lord, and we should recognize Him as such. The Lord has given us in His Word that which is sufficient to teach us how to live our lives in a way to honor and glorify Him. And over later in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, he talks about those that are born of the Spirit of God. And the absolute importance of those who are born of the Spirit of God to live and walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. That we're debtors to walk and live in the Spirit. We're not debtors to the flesh. Because out of the flesh, we just have that old carnal mind and that old carnal man, which is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That if we come together tonight to please God, we're going to have to walk in the Spirit. We have to trust the Lord. We have to come looking to the Lord. As a minister of the gospel, I have to trust the Lord to bless me with liberty to preach. As members of the Lord's church and as members of this church, you come trusting that the Lord would bless you to hear and the Lord would bless you to feed. And even as we visit among those in the world and share with them our faith, which I hope and pray we're, by the grace of God, able to do, we have to depend upon the Lord to allow us to do that in a way that's beneficial to others of God's little children that do need to hear these things. You know, the truth as it is in Christ Jesus is a great, great blessing that sets God's little children free. He said there in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, to those who had believed the things that he had been speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said that if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth doesn't bind you up. The truth sets you free. And that freedom is not just to go live any old way, any type of life, live in the sin of this world. You see, we were under that law of sin and death, and really, we were held captive and servants, not of the Lord Jesus Christ by nature, but we were servants of sin. We were wrapped up in sin with no way out. We were under the bondage of Satan and the dominion of Satan, and no way to get ourselves out of that. We were really under the law of sin and death. We were held in the bondage of death, where we had the sentence of death in ourselves. And there was no hope for us to get out from under that. All the religion of this world that tries to get people out from the bondage of sin will fall short of reaching that place. All of the religion of this world that tries to deliver one from the power of Satan is going to fall short of that place. It's only one who can deliver us from the power of sin and the power of Satan and keep us from being and cause us to be something other than the servants of sin and Satan. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has no problem doing that whatsoever. And the good news is if He has worked in your heart, if He has given you a new heart and a circumcised heart, and if He has given you life and He's given you faith whereby you're able to believe that He made the heavens and the earth, if you can look up into stars of heaven and believe they're the work of His hands, if you can look at the oceans and believe that the Lord held the waters of that massive ocean in the very palm of His hand, or if you can look at the mountains and believe that the very dust of the earth, in a sense, He weighed in a balance, and you can see all of the universes that we hear about and are told about, and bigger than we can even see. That as Job said, He took this earth and He made it, and He hung it on nothing. He placed it there. And you're able by grace to believe that. That shows an evidence that the Lord Himself has given you life. And that life that He's given you is eternal life. And that He's given you that life here in this time world for a reason and for a purpose. And that means every day you live, every hour that He gives you breath in your nostrils and a heart to beat, There's a joy in living that where you find fellowship in the Lord, and you just don't know where He might lead you, send you, who He may have you talk to, who you may be corresponding with, who you'll have fellowship with. It changes the way you look at everything about your entire life. And none of this has to do anything with how you and I get home to glory. We know that was finished in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what it does have to do with is how you and I, who are glory bound, are living here in this world in a way to honor the God of heaven, who one day is going to take us home to glory. And if He's going to do that, and He's done all that for us, don't you say with me, God forbid that we would live anyway but to the honor and the glory of His name. Lord, help me walk better, act better, and talk better, because Thou hast done so much for me. And because of how much You've done for me, I understand what a sinner I am by nature and what I deserve. And yet what Thou hast done for me by grace, and therefore, Lord, it causes me to love You. He loved me in spite of my unlovable case and condition. He sent His Son for me while I was yet His enemy, and would never have turned or changed and gone another way. And He showed an unconditional love for me. He had no reason to love me, He saw fit to do that. And my love for Him in turn is based on I have every reason, and you have every reason to love Him. Because he's done so much for you. And that's what we preach about. That's what the Apostle Paul was excited. He said, I want to get to you, brethren, at Rome. I got something to tell you. I don't believe he believed for a minute he was going to make sheep in Rome. I believe he was going to feed sheep, don't you? I don't believe I'm here tonight to make sheep. I'm thankful I don't have to make sheep. I'm thankful we've got a great shepherd who makes all of his own. He knows his sheep. He calls them by name. And the Bible says in Psalm 100, it is He that hath made us. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Isn't that good? But I'm telling you, that doesn't lessen the importance of the preaching of the gospel. Some people would say, well, I didn't believe we were making people able to go to heaven through the preaching of the gospel. Then why would you preach? I want to tell you, we've got a message to tell God's people. It's a gospel. The word gospel means what? Good news. I'm not here tonight to tell you bad news. I'm here to declare to you the good news. And the good news is as cold water to a thirsty soul. You know what it does for a dead man? Absolutely nothing. But you know what it does for a living person? For one who's been made alive? For a little lamb? Sheep food is not something that the goats of this world are looking for. As a matter of fact, they don't want to be around that very much. But I'm telling you, when God has quickened one of His little sheep and given them life in Christ, and they're born of His Spirit, they have an ear to hear, they have an eye to see, they have a heart to understand. They need to hear the wonderful, glorious message that Jesus loved them enough that He came here and died at Calvary to pay that sin debt. And the weight of sin on a little child of grace is heavy. That law is written in their heart and in their mind. They know they stand condemned before Almighty God in their heart and in their mind. And part of the gospel does declare that to them. And they're able to see it and understand it as the Lord gives them understanding. And the Lord opens their eyes to it. And oh, what a relief. What is that commercial? Oh, what a relief it is. We're not talking about popping a medication to help your heartburn. But we're talking about a spiritual heartburn that God's little children have when they feel condemned and lost in this world. Some of them wrapped up in the bondage of religion, trying to get right, trying to live right, trying to act right, trying to behave right, trying to do enough that God would accept them, trying to pray hard enough, trying to pray right enough, trying to attend church enough, trying to follow some man-made tradition or some man-made law in order to have peace. And they're like those who cry, peace, peace, and there is no peace. I'll tell you, the gospel is a gospel of peace because it tells about a Savior who truly saves. It tells about a God who's truly God. It tells about sovereign grace. Grace that is from the sovereign God of heaven, who has power to save whom He will, and who has power to keep us safe in this world. And as we look to Him, we'll find that timely deliverance that comes in following after Him. And brethren, we need to hear it over and over again. I can hear it on Sunday, and it seems like Monday it kind of withers away. I need to hear it again. Need to read it again. That's why we need to be in the book. That's why we don't need to just close it up on Sunday and put it on the shelf and then walk away and pick it up next Sunday. I'm telling you, it's good you pick it up next Sunday, and it's good that you come. It's good that you keep coming. I don't want to disencourage anybody about that. I'm thankful that we pick it up as much as we do. But I'm saying to you, the more you're in His Word, have you found this to be the case? The more that you read, the more that you study, the more that you have fellowship and communication with Him through and in His Word, the more you'll find you get when you come to the house of God, when the preaching of the gospel, it's amazing how the Lord will lead a minister right to the place that you've been wondering about, right to the passage maybe that you've been concerned about, and will stir. You want your preacher to preach? You study your Bibles and search the Word of God and pray that God would give you sight and insight. And He'll bless that old man that stands before you with liberty of his calling to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the praise and the glory of His name. And when that occurs, God forbid we'd ever give anyone the praise and the glory but the Lord for that. There's nothing like it here in this world. I've had some good times in this world. I've had some good times in nature. I think of a lot of sweet times of natural fellowship I've had in my family, and with y'all's family, in different places. Great, precious memories. I've got some wonderful ones. I thank God for them. They mean a lot to me. I'll tell you, there's been no place in my life that's been like when I'm sitting under the sound of the gospel, and I've been able to be lifted up to feel like the preacher was talking about me, and that when the blood of Jesus was shed, it was shed for me. And that home in heaven that He talks about is one that I'm going to enjoy. That when I'm finally at home with the Lord, I'll be able to thank Him. Aren't you looking forward to the day that you'll be able to thank Him for all that He's done for you? That you believe that it was in His shed blood that you have that sweet home waiting for you. That He is the way, He is the truth, and He's the life. Listen, the Apostle Paul said, "Brethren, you brethren at Rome, beloved of the Lord, called to be saints." He didn't go there to call them to be saints. They were already called to be saints. He didn't go there to get God to love them. They were already loved of God. But he went there to preach to those that God loved, that were called to be saints, and to declare unto them this wonderful salvation, this righteousness that's of God, that was purchased through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I love to find a little brother that's under bondage and under in the burden of sin, and tell them about a Savior who loved us, such a sinner like you. The hymn writer said, "Canst thou save an old sinner like me?" I love to find those who feel that. And you can say, "Thou canst save a sinner. The Lord can save a sinner." Listen, it's those who see that have been made sensible of their sins, that He did save. He didn't try to do it. He didn't want to do it. He's not begging and pleading that you'd help Him get it done. He came to save His people from their sins. And just as sure as His name is Jesus, that means Savior. And He's also Lord. And as we read here, He was the Son of Man, which made Him the perfect sacrifice that had to be offered. You see, if He had not been born, you know, it's not just wasted space when you read over there in Luke chapter 4 about the lineage of Mary coming through the lines of David. It's not just wasted space, even when you read in Matthew about that which came through Joseph, who Joseph was, his supposed father, it still was in that same lineage. It wasn't any mistake how Jesus came and when He was born and where He was born. He was born right on. I heard a man say one time that if He'd have been born a little earlier or a little later, and all, listen, He was born at the appointed time of the Father. He didn't come one day early or one day late. He came when the Father sent Him. And the day He was born, He didn't grow up to become the Savior. He was born the Savior. He was born the King of the Jews. They were praising Him. The angels were praising Him at His birth. We are to be praising Him now. And He lived His life as the Son of Man. From the family of David, He lived His life and went to the tree of the cross as man. He died at Calvary as a man. But He wasn't just a man, was He? No. You see, Paul didn't say He was just a man. He says, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Notice who He is. He's His Son, but He's Jesus. He's our Savior. He's Christ. He's the anointed that was taught throughout the Old Testament. He said the prophets had testified of this aforetime in the Scriptures. And they called the Holy Scriptures. You know why they're the Holy Scriptures? Because they were breathed by God. Tonight we're not standing before you with wise fables, ideas of men written by the hands of men that just kind of made them up as they went along. I believe in the authority of God's Word. I believe you believe in the authority of God's Word. And I'm telling you, you can examine this book from one page, one place to another. You'll find that this is the only book you can count on being the truth, nothing but the truth and altogether the truth. And what it has told us is a sufficient supply for us, for living, for dying, for whatever we face. It is that which truly furnishes us unto all good works. And the message of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, and see, the Apostle Paul knew what the Jewish people believed because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He understood that. You would think that, you know, you and I would have said that he's well qualified to go teach the Jews, wouldn't we? That's what we'd have said. But see, the Apostle Paul wasn't called to be an apostle to the Jews. He was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, he preached to the Jews. You see, the Apostle Paul preached to the Jew. He preached to the Gentile. He preached to the barbarian. He preached to the Greek. He preached to the wise. He preached to the unwise. He preached this wonderful gospel wherever the door was open and wherever God gave him the ability. And he went according to the will of God. And he said, I'm a debtor. In verse 14, he said, both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise, and to the unwise. And listen, he said, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. And that is the good news to you that are at Rome also. I believe tonight we can say that. I'm ready to preach to you, brethren, here at Happy Creek. And if the Lord leads me down the road and I find a little brother in a hospital, I'm ready to preach to that little brother. If I find a little sister along the way in trouble in a hospital room, I'm ready to share that gospel. This gospel did not save me for heaven and immortal glory. The message of this gospel tells me of the Savior who saved me for heaven and immortal glory. But I find salvation, deliverance in a timely sense, daily in my life as I apply this gospel in my life. I found timely deliverance every day, every hour, because it tells me of the one who loved me so much that he died for me at Calvary and purchased a home eternally for me. And how, if he gave his only begotten Son, the Father did that for me and for you, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? And we're not talking about a God who's poor. Our God's not poor. He said if he was hungry, he wouldn't ask any of us. Psalmist said, he said in the Psalms, the world is mine and the fullness thereof. He made the heavens and the earth. He made the galaxies and all the stars of the universe. Not only did he make them, we can't even count them. He named them. He knows their name too. They have a name. Every star has a name. You look up there and God's named that one. He named them. And he knows their name. He also knows the names of every one of his children, which, by the way, according to the scripture, is innumerable as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, a number that no man can number, out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. And he calls them by name. He didn't stand at the tomb of Lazarus and say, please, somebody come forth. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't look up at the tree and see that little short man and say, whatever your name is, please come down. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. For today I must abide at thy house. And when he called on you and he called on me in our life, spoke in that still, sweet, small voice in our hearts, he knew us. He knew us intimately. Better than anybody else has ever known you. Better than you know yourself. Peter said, Lord, you know all things. Thou knowest I love thee. You know better than to ask. You know better than my answer. Thou knowest I love thee. We talk about a Lord that really is able to save us because he has all power. He is able to keep. He has delivered. He is delivering and he will yet deliver. And this is the one that he came to declare. He said, He said, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You go to Isaiah 53, you'll find no clearer declaration of the gospel than what Isaiah gave in Isaiah 53 of the death, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the death on the cross, and why he came to die, to pay the sin debt that you and I owed, and how that it was done at Calvary. You read Psalm 22, and it'll take you right back to the crucifixion and what Jesus suffered on the cross as they reviled him and mocked him and ridiculed him, and how he allowed his hands to be nailed and his feet to be nailed to the tree of the cross. And he did that all because he loved his people. And the Apostle Paul told them, Peter said, this same Jesus whom ye crucified, the Lord has made both Lord and Christ. And that's the one that Peter declared, and now the Apostle Paul, who hated, as Saul, he hated the things that the name of Jesus Christ. And now hear that same one. Isn't it wonderful how God works? We'd have certainly excluded him from the effort. The apostle, his certification wouldn't have been very good. He wasn't very qualified. And listen, he was well qualified because his qualification came from the Lord. The Lord knocked him down, turned him around, completely around, and sent him right on the way he was going. Except rather than to arrest people, he went to preach. And he did preach. And now here he's at Rome, and he says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. That means he was made a man, and yet he was declared. Listen, he was made a man, but he didn't have to be made God. He was declared to be God. You know why he didn't have to be made God? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He had to be made man. He had to be born and take upon himself a body of flesh. The Word was made manifest in the flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld that wonderful Lamb of God. They beheld him. And I'm telling you, he was verily God when he was born. He was always, has always been. He proved that. It says he declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. There's an empty tomb that proves he's God. Some poll was taken just this year that so many percentage of Americans now no longer believe in the resurrection. I tell you, where would we be tonight? There's no resurrection. There was no resurrection. Close your Bibles. There'd be no reason to preach. 1 Corinthians 15 says if there's no resurrection, then our preaching is in vain. No need to believe because your faith would be in vain. And all those that are dead are going to stay there. There would be no hope. Listen, that wonderful truth of the resurrection. Listen, he came forth from the grave. There's an empty tomb. There's no place that we'll go to worship our Savior on this earth at a graveside or at a tomb. There are many religions built up around some man who's in the ground. But our Savior, the man that we serve, the God that we serve, who was verily man and verily God, is seated today on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. That's how our prayers are heard when we bow. Brother Charles's prayers tonight wouldn't have got out of this room. He'd have never prayed. He'd have never had the desire to pray unless the God of heaven had worked in his heart. And if there hadn't been a Savior seated on the right hand of the Father, there would be no brethren praying. There would be no prayer that's heard. Listen, it's only by and through his intercession that we're heard in heaven. We've had a lot of needs tonight. I've often said that if somebody came to an old Baptist church not knowing we trusted in a big God, they'd get depressed by the time we got through the prayer request part. Because we mentioned a whole lot of things. This one's in trouble. And that one, listen, we've got trouble. Sure as you're born in this world. Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job said that. And as sure as you're in this world, you'll have tribulation. In this world, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. We have a Savior seated on the right hand of the Father, that when we pray and petition the God of heaven, He is seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, so that all of our prayers and all of our mess is cleaned up and straightened up to be heard in the ear of the Father. And the things that we stand in need of, He will grant. And those things that we don't, thanks be to God, He'll say, nope, that's not according to my will. And we can have peace about that tonight. You can have peace and I can have peace tonight about our very lives and the events of our lives when we leave them and trust them in the hands of a Lord who knows better than we do. I've worried about a whole lot of things a whole lot of time, and it's all been wasted time and wasted effort. I want to do better, don't you? I owe Him more. He's given me every reason to trust Him. He's given me every evidence. I got the Word of God in all the times that those trusted Him in the Bible and how He came through. We sang about it. He's just the same today. There was a brother named Daniel who trusted Him as he went into a den of lions and the Lord kept him. There were three Hebrew children that trusted Him as they were cast into a fire furnace and He preserved them. There was the children of Israel that stood at the Red Sea and they trusted in the Lord and He opened the waters and opened up the way. There was the apostle, as we've read recently in the Acts of the Apostles, the apostles from time to time were in prison in all kinds of places and their faith never failed them. And listen, there were many who've given their lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and did so in faith, and the Lord never let them down. He didn't leave them down when they died. He carried them home to a better place. See, it isn't always that He delivers us here in this world from the danger that is at hand. It may take our lives. But if someone destroys your life, what have they done really? And to be with the Lord, according to the Scripture, is even far better. And when it's the time to be with Him, there's no better place to be. And until that time, He's going to keep us here. And as long as we're here, we ought to be looking to Him. And we can sit around and say, well, why am I still here? I'm useless. I'm no good. I'm of no benefit to anybody. Listen, if you're breathing and you've got your heart beating and there's breath in your nostrils, there is a reason that you're here. Otherwise, you'd be somewhere else. And and the reason is the Lord, and to live for Him, to honor Him and to serve Him while you're here in this world, to His honor and to His praise and to His glory. And this isn't so you get some reward or a pat on the back. It's because He has loved you so much that you in turn love Him. And as you do that, and see, and I believe the Apostle Paul just wanted to tell these brethren that. I love to tell the story. I know sometimes old Baptist preachers look like they don't want to preach, and they'll sit there and he call on them and they'll go like, oh, I wish you'd have called on somebody else. Listen, when the preaching's good, every old Baptist preacher in the place wants to preach. They can act like they don't. But when you feel the Lord in the place, I've had times where I didn't want to come to the stand, but then had brethren come to the stand and preach, and I'd go like, oh, just wish he just let him move out the way just a little. And, you know, and sometimes you'll hear us, we'll try to get in while the others are preaching. You know, we'll try to get in our thoughts. There's nothing like the gospel. There's nothing like the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing like hearing it. There's nothing like feeding on it. There's nothing like living by it. There's nothing like sharing that, even as those of God's children who aren't called to preach. When you have a little brother or a little sister in trouble and they need help, to be able to tell them of a great physician who can take care of their physical needs, to tell them of a great physician who can help them financially, help them hold their marriage together, to tell them about one who is able to save them, and not only, listen, He has saved us in an eternal sense, but He also saves us in our day-to-day walks. You need Him in your life. I need Him in my life, and there have been too many times I've gone along not being reminded of that. I've ridden down the road too many times without being mindful that He's in the car with me. How about you? I'll tell you what, my ride's a lot better when I know He's with me. I act a lot better. You know, when you get around good brethren, it'll help you act better. When you realize you're with the Lord all the time, it'll help you act. It'll keep you from saying stuff your old flesh wants to say. It'll keep you from doing that thing that you know you ought to do, but you end up doing because the old flesh seems to overtake you. It's because we don't walk in the Spirit like we ought to. We submit to the flesh. And isn't it a sick feeling when we've done that? And yet the Lord loves us enough that He doesn't allow us. He doesn't allow you to get by with that. He'll bring you under an awareness of that. He'll chasten you for that. He may keep you from sleeping. He may cause you to toss and turn. Aren't you thankful that He does apply the rod of chastisement to our lives as we ignore Him? He may even cause a preacher to get you real hot. Said, why in the world he come in here and be meddling in my business? He quit preaching and started meddling. Listen, if the preaching at times doesn't hit you, not much preaching is going on. That's the truth. It'll hit us all. Most of the time the preacher's talking more about his own self and his own shortcomings and knows his own feelings. Sometimes so much he feels almost ashamed. Somebody said, well, if you can't walk it, why preach it? Listen, I need to preach it and try to walk it better. But the things of the Lord are important for us to walk it. The Apostle Paul said, as much as in me is. That doesn't sound like somebody who's ready to find a place to retire. Our brother Holly Redmond used to say it this way. He said, old Baptist preachers don't retire, they expire. Means they preach as long as there's breath in their body and they have the ability. And then you're called out of that duty when you leave this world. And listen, it's not just, it isn't a job, it's a calling. It's what God's given you, a burden in your heart. He said, and he declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. That means he's prepared us and given us everything that is sufficient to be able to walk in a way to honor and glorify him. God's given you grace sufficient to trust him. He's given you faith sufficient to lean on him. He's given you strength for what you need. You won't face anything that he doesn't give you the strength and the ability to do it. And the wisdom comes from him. He is the supply of our wisdom. He is our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one the Old Testament says is the everlasting Father. Our counselor, the one called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Jesus is that peace of God that is to rule in our hearts. And I'll tell you, when we put him in the forefront, he is in the forefront. But when we openly call him Lord and acknowledge him to be Lord and put him in the forefront, then we're able to face whatever's coming in our life. And that hadn't got a thing to do with you getting home to glory, but it has to do with you walking in a way to honor and glorify him in this world. And there's a timely deliverance, a timely salvation, a gospel deliverance in trusting and leaning upon what the Lord has taught us in his word. He says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world, the whole world. He was thanking God that little congregation had an effect on those that are around him. I pray that this little congregation will have an influence on the community that is set, as well as others of our sister churches in this nation and around the world, wherever the Lord has planted his church, would have an effect on others that are around them. And if we're doing what the Lord would have us to do, it's like a city that's set on a hill, a light that is shining forth. And the reason that we haven't seen that effect is sometimes we put our light under a bushel. Brethren, it's important that you and I are walking as the Lord would have us to walk and living as he would have us to live. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. We can't pray too much for one another. Y'all pray for me. I need your prayers. Need your prayers during the week. Need your prayers on the weekends. Need them on Monday. Need them Monday morning, Monday evening, Monday night. I need them Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever it is. Need them in the morning. Need them in the evening. I'll tell you, it keeps brethren where they ought to be. You know, it's hard to fight with brethren you're praying for. It's hard for a husband and wife to fight if they're praying for one another. It's hard to be upset and disturbed with your children if you're praying for them. I mean, you can be disappointed, but you're praying for them. You're going to love them like you're supposed to. In the church, it's important that we're praying. You get a church not praying for one another, you're going to have an avenue and an opening for the old devil to sow seeds of discord among the brethren. Next thing you know, you got this one and that one. Instead of talking about one another, we need to be praying for one another. And the more we pray for one another, the less we'll be able. It's hard to talk about folks you're praying for. It's so easy to talk about those you haven't. That's the old flesh. It gets in the way. But when you're walking in the Spirit, the Lord just keeps us on track. And notice the Apostle Paul didn't say, y'all are so great. He said, no. He didn't say, I thank y'all that y'all are so good. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. He knew where their strength came from. Don't we tonight? I hope we know where our strength comes from. He says, because your faith is spoken of through the whole world. It wasn't because of what they had done. Listen, they didn't give themselves faith. The Lord gave them faith. And their faith that was being spoken about was that which they were living. And the way they were able to live it was through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that which God had blessed them through Jesus to be able to do. He says, but God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. In other words, he said, I'm hoping I'm coming, but I don't know for sure that I'm coming. The Bible warns us about saying today, I'm going to get up and do this or that, or I'm going to do this tomorrow or that, or I've got this plan, I'm going to do this. It said, we're to say the Lord willing. That's what I hope to do. See, and the Apostle Paul lived that. He says, I'm praying. My request is to be with the brethren in Rome. But he said, I don't know. He said, I've wanted to go before, but I was led hitherto. And there was God's purpose in that. Isn't it amazing when you turn our life is turned over in the hands of the Lord, whether we recognize it or not, but how important it is when we can recognize it. Have you ever wanted to go one place, but the Lord had something else in mind, and when you got there, you're so glad you went where you... In other words, you were... And sometimes he will allow us to go places and he really didn't lead us to go, just to let us know you should have been somewhere else. God moves, as the hymn writer said, in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. The Apostle Paul said, I make request unto God, because God is we're the servant, he's the king. He says, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you. That's the way the brethren ought to be. If we miss services, it ought to be I long to see the brethren. It ought not be, well, this service is here again. I got to get to church. Oh, I'm telling you, in trouble when your church is that way. Pray about that. Oh, here it is Sunday again. How did it get here so quick? Rather than, oh, I'm so glad I got a Sunday coming. Oh, I'm thankful we got a place to go. Lord, I just long to be among the brethren. I long to see them. And the reason he longed to see them is that he, as a minister of the gospel, had been given a calling by God, and as an apostle, that he might impart some spiritual gift. That is, that he might share the truth. Listen, we share spiritual things with spiritual people, and we share that gift that's come from God and tell about Jesus Christ and what he's done. To the end, you may be established. Do you believe the church needs to be established? Absolutely. They don't need to be called. The Lord's called them. The salvation has been done, eternally speaking, but there's an establishment that must grow. There's some growth. We need to grow. We need to be taught how to live and act and behave and conduct ourselves in this world, how to raise our children, how to be good mamas and daddies and workers and live in this world in a way to honor and glorify the Lord, who one day is going to take us home to be with him in heaven. And therefore, we ought to live the very best we can in a way to honor him. We might be established to be that which is bearing forth fruit in his name. That is, that I may be comforted together. Verse 12 is so good. It's not, so is verse 11. All of them are good. That is, that time is gone. That I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Isn't it wonderful how the Bible just says sometimes what we're feeling, we can't seem to get it in words. That's what happens in a church meeting where your brethren come together of like precious faith. You're able to share this truth from heart to heart. There's a little heaven here below. You get comforted together by the mutual faith. That is what God has given you and what God has given me. We're able to share that and we find like precious faith. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. And he's talking about seeing the effects of the gospel. It's a beautiful thing to see the effects of the gospel. It's a beautiful thing to see sinners that have felt so burdened find a peace. They're still sinners, but they see themselves then, and by the peace of God, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's beautiful to see their smiles. It's beautiful to hear their voices praising the Lord. It's wonderful to see a husband reach out and grab his wife's hand during a song service and see that closeness that comes in a family. To see the healing that the Lord takes place in a church. See, even brethren who've been at odds with one another, lay those things down and come back and find such great, in the love of God. It isn't about me or you, it's about the Lord. And to find that peace. Listen, there's no better place to have your family. There's no better place to bring your family. There's no better place for them. And though they may not always have an ear to hear it and an eye to see it and a heart to understand it, and maybe these little ones may look like they're bored stiff, but listen, that's where they need to be in order to be able to hear these wonderful, glorious truths that they will need in their lives if the Lord allows them to see it. Listen, when I'm in trouble, I have found great peace in knowing the Lord's with me. And there have been messages in the past that at the time didn't mean very much to me that came back in my memory that meant a lot to me. I see little ones that used to just sit there and go like, I wonder if he's ever going to get done. And now they look at you like, please don't stop. One day we're going to be with him in glory. Hymn writer said, the Lord has been so good to me. I want to praise His name. We sit there sometimes so quiet. One time they were yelling and exalting His name, crying hallelujah. And the disciples said, tell him to quiet down. They're making too much noise. And he said, if they be quiet, then the rocks would cry out. The heavens declare the glory of God, affirming His handiwork. As new creatures in Christ, we ought to be making a joyful noise unto the Lord. We ought to lift up our voices in praise, not disorder, but orderly in praise, honoring and glorifying Him. Most important thing that come out of these old lips is praise to Almighty God. And the more you can do it, the better. The more you can do it, the better. Appreciate your kind prayers and attention, and please continue to pray for me as the Lord leads you.